Technorama episode 417 for November 12, 2014, The Farce Awakens.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I've lost my true love. Where, oh where can she be?
Over there, in the media corner.
You made another and you was gone.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelt and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for November 12, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. We appreciate it. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time again. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. I got my Los Polos Hermanos shirt. I'm ready to go.
For a moment, I thought you said you got your Lotus 1-2-3 something or other. I'm like, what?
It finally came. Amazon brought my Lotus 1-2-3
Polos Romanos. You sure that's not like Los Pollos? Is you got a chicken shirt?
It's like, that's a chicken shirt. The Chicken Brothers from Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. Also joining us here in the Binary Studio is...
I'm Michael. I'm the Eternal Studio Technician Repairman Handyman. I can't leave this house.
his services are needed when the cat walks on the board and messes with the buttons.
He's moved on, but he hasn't moved on.
Exactly. I have issues.
He has been over here quite a bit fixing things lately. Of which we are truly appreciative that we no longer have holes in roofs and ceilings and everything.
Yeah, stuff like that.
It's all back together. It's in sellable condition now.
Oh, now you're out of there? Great. Mike's going to have to get to know somebody else totally different.
No, he's just going to keep showing up once a week to do a podcast. I hope to God the next buyer is a podcaster too. Coming up in this episode, we have Skip Birthdays, Fuffy Frog and her texting, and we lament the lack of monkey butlers. And more coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Hey, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig, and they're no damn good.
I resemble that remark.
Hey, Chuck, I was just thinking, with Alan Ruck, I know he was the Captain Enterprise B, but why didn't you play like the, oh, yeah, or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to go find the unedited raw voiceover from him.
Mm-hmm.
Those are hard to find. Somewhere, I might have a few, but I don't think I have them all, and I wish I did. But anyway, we have feedback. Oh, I love
lots of it.
We just have to play the music.
That's right.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Oompa
mail
music.
Man, mail man,
he's a tuba.
Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy. Package has arrived.
My package did arrive right as the show was about to start. The Amazon guy showed up on a Sunday night. kind of
a late Sunday night.
Blew my mind.
Well, it's getting into the holidays, so that might be too.
By the way, before we get in the feedback, you know what blew my mind? I was expecting a package from Amazon. I paid for the Saturday delivery.
Yeah,
I'm in the living room watching TV, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to probably come in later in the afternoon. And after a couple hours of watching TV, I get a text message that says your package has arrived. I said, cool. I went and opened the door. It was right there. I was like, I didn't even see the guy come and stick it on.
Do you have drone service?
Ninja service.
Probably maybe. As soon as they drop it, they scan it and it goes through the system.
He's probably like crouched down below the window so nobody sees him.
Pushes it onto the porch with a stick.
It's squirrel delivery.
Hey, Harrison was in the room with me and I said, did you even see anybody? He said, no, we're just in there watching Doctor Who or, you know, catching up on Doctor Who.
Oh, it was delivered by the silence.
Apparently. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Hey, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, it's Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. I just wanted to let you know how much I've enjoyed the Where Are They Now? Slice of Sci-Fi edition in the last two episodes. Y'all have a Marvy day.
Well, Mike's here.
Bye.
I'm figment of your imagination, Mark.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
Hey, I had to follow you over to a show that you actually listen to now, so.
Oh, ow. That's fun.
Where are they now? The question is, where are our listeners now?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the they in this sentence.
We also have a few email. We have one from Nicholas who says, hey, Chuck, I don't know whose geek card I need to revoke, but Quark was on Deep Space Nine, not Voyager. Unless you count the fact that he appears for about 5 minutes in Voyager's premiere episode. Well, okay. Fair's fair. You caught me. It's the same thing I did at the top of the last show when I said 506, or this is the 506th day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
When you're fiddling with the board and clicking MP3s and watching waveforms and making conversation, Mike can appreciate this, can you?
But I'm on the reverse side. I don't know how to do this show without doing that stuff now. So I lose my train of thought all the time because I'm waiting.
He gets bored.
Well, it's not that. Is it that a lot of my responses are tied to actions that happen on the board? I'm
muscle
not doing
memory.
That anymore. Yeah. And so I have this cognitive disconnect because I'm not actually muting somebody or pushing something up.
It's and like he's lost a sense.
It is. It's crazy.
I can't hear or something.
I was trying to remember, did we were just joking about Quark and, you know, because of Star Trek in general? Or did we, no, we didn't actually say he was on Voyager because I know better.
He was on this day in history. It was his birthday. It's Armin Shimerman's birthday.
Oh, right. It was his birthday. That's right.
And I had said Voyager when I absolutely 100% meant Deep Space Nine.
I remember that. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay. You're right.
So, well, we don't go back and edit, and most of the time we don't even go back and listen, but hey, we got it.
Yeah.
Thank you for
That's
calling.
That's what we have listeners for. That's mm-hmm. I have. There's no reason to go back and listen to the show. We did it.
Yeah. Chuck goes, well, look, we got two listeners from last week. No, that's us.
The only way we get feedback is when we do something wrong like that. But keep it up. Keep it up. Here's another one we screwed up. Avner Braveman said, you skipped my 40th birthday, you bastards.
Ouch.
He was a little nicer than that. He said, you reached November 3rd on show 415 and started on November 4th on show 416. Was that when we switched from Julian to Gregorian calendar?
November 5th, you mean?
Yeah, November 5th. Yeah, on show 416. Oh. Too many numbers again. Stop.
Yes.
So he wrote us a little poem, which I wish I could do in James Earl Jones' voice, but since he's not here, we'll do it my way. Okay. Every year, I sit in my dark, cold home, lonely, despaired. No one likes me. No one cares.
Ow.
Only the hope of the Technorama birthday calendar keeps me sane. Someone's got low expectations. Hope that one day a year, only on one day alone, someone, anyone will remember will mention my name. Alas, that was not meant to be. Happy birthday to me.
It brings a tear to the eye. I'm so depressed. I can't go on with the show.
For that, we truly apologize.
Hey, wait a minute. I think I wished him happy birthday on Facebook.
Well, that's not quite the same.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Like,
okay.
Facebook only addresses, what, 1.2 billion people?
Yeah, not quite the same.
That's right. This show has so much more reach.
And for the record, that was formal complaint 110-04-1974, which is his birthday if you haven't figured it out. Okay, we have another one. I think this is a continuation of our discussion we had at Dragon Con, where we were harassing Fuffy Frog.
And it's still going on.
She was drunk texting or something, and it was not making any sense. So we started sending back like predictive text and random things back at her. And
yeah, we were just picking the sentences or making the sentences as we went.
Is this dated forward to back? It is. Okay, so Fuffy Frog via Technorama. When you guys were talking about how you texted me by using predictive word thing, it was in episode 414. Mad Marv thinks I'm a spam robot. I am sure. Bananas. Mad Marv then writes, "You are a robot, though. I see right through your Twitter, Abby." I see it right on your Twitter, Abby. And then she replies back, "Ribbit fizz, meow fizz, ribbit." And so Mad Marv closes with, "You see what happens when you don't stream the shows, the chat room comes to your inbox."
I told him, I said, "See what happens when you cross the streams."
There you go.
That's the part I didn't put on here.
The chat room is, we are working on a plan. We have to architect the solution because there are two machines, one that handles audio and one that handles video, and tying them together is
challenging.
Quantum mechanics, to put it lightly. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Unless we want to go to, unless we can talk you into going to like Justin.
Oh, maybe.
Well, go to Justin TV. We solve this like overnight.
And then we still have to post it to YouTube.
That's true.
Or maybe not. I don't know. We need to come up with an architecture, and that's why we have Michael here. He knows many more options than
But with Craig being in another state and several other time zones, that's the challenging. You're talking about
geography being in another state, right? Not just mental.
Yeah, not. Well, I mean, he could be in another state there.
What we could do.
Quantum mechanics could have something to do with this as well.
Speaking of which, what we could do is y'all can record on Justin TV. I'll record to YouTube. And the people can just kind of line up the videos and play at the same time on two different websites.
Play.
We do nice. Two live streams simultaneously. That's awesome.
Thank you for your glorious feedback, as punishing as it was.
Yeah, there'd be no latency on that idea. I love that idea. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You get started on that Monday. Let me know when you're
done. Let's try.
We can get one of those clappers, you know, so they know exactly when to line them up. And
I can't afford one of those. It's like this. There's my clapper. Yeah. It's two hands going together.
Oh, crap. The lights went out.
It's history time. Do you know what happened on this day in history?
No, but I'm sure we're going
to
find out.
To tell you whether you like it or not. On this day in history for November 12, 2014, this is the 316th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 49 days remaining in 2014. It was on this date, in 1912, the frozen bodies of Robert Scott and his men are found on the Ross Ice Shelf in Antarctica. Go, Craig.
Hugh Gray takes the first known photos alleged to be of the Loch Ness Monster on this date in 1933.
Submarine.
November 12th, 1936, in California, the San Francisco Oakland Bay Bridge opens to traffic. Oh, okay, I see. The San Francisco Oakland Bay Bridge. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Okay, that's the old original one.
Right.
Not the new one they just reopened. And if you look on Google Maps, it's got it half constructed, So there are cars up to a certain frame, then they disappear, and then they come back. It's really
Bermuda
freaky.
Triangle.
It is.
It's great.
44 years ago today, the Oregon Highway Division attempts to destroy a rotting beach sperm whale with explosives.
Oh, that fiasco.
We've all seen the video.
Yes.
Leading to the now infamous exploding whale incident.
The first viral video.
Yeah.
All right, 34 years ago today, NASA space probe Voyager 1 takes the closest approach to Saturn and takes the first images of its rings.
Cool. November 12th, 1981, space shuttle program mission STS-2 utilizing the space shuttle Columbia marks the first time a manned spacecraft is launched into space twice.
Recycling actually does work.
Recycle your space shuttles.
Tim Berners-Lee publishes a formal proposal for the World Wide Web on this date in 1990.
Here comes the web.
Shanghai Transrapid sets a new world speed record, 501 kilometers per hour, 311 miles per hour for you Americans. For commercial railway systems, which remains the fastest unmodified commercial rail vehicles on this date in 2003.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to Russian composer and chemist, I didn't know this, Alexander Borodin, born on this date in 1833.
Oh, wait, that's my turn. Turning 80 years old today, the denied payroll once again.
Parole.
American
parole. Although payroll would work as well.
Payroll.
Charles Manson.
Yeah, Charles Manson.
He doesn't get a paycheck anymore.
On somebody's payroll.
Also celebrating his 77th birthday, American Admiral, pilot, and astronaut Richard H. Tully.
Singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer Neil Young turned 69.
And check your knees, everybody. Figure skater Tanya Harding is 44 years old today.
And finally, actress and singer Anne Hathaway is 32.
Hey,
and
baby.
She's a good 32.
Bat chick. And that's the way it was on this day in history for November 12th, 2014. Tanya Harding? 44?
44, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know, right?
And it's the 25th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. Man, we're getting old.
I don't even look at it anymore. I just figure
just go with
the
it.
The wall?
I look at my AARP card and just wonder how the hell I got here.
Just before the show, we went grocery shopping and I noticed, hey, we're in Phoenix because nobody sells green bananas.
Right.
Green bananas.
Do you realize that what that's about?
No, I do not.
That's a phrase old people say. We're not buying any green bananas because they might die before they ripen.
Oh, haha. I gotcha.
And the good news keeps on coming.
We have a PSA. You know, you always see those little packets when you buy computer equipment or sometimes beef jerky or pepperoni that say, do not eat.
Right, the silicone pellets.
Right, it's made out of little...
They taste great.
Anti-moisture pellet packets.
I thought the Horta had an accident in my food. Wasn't the Horta from Star Trek Original Series was a silicon-based creature? Oh, yeah. Man, you poo-dooed all over my beef jerky.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
Horta poop. Right. Okay. There's a reason you're not supposed to eat those. You know why?
Well, they're made out of silica.
Well, so what? You can eat sand.
Right? Well, but it's a chemical thing.
It's a modified silica gel that it's a desiccant, which means it sucks up moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you watch the video, it's actually rather interesting. You know what absorption is, right? Like a sponge absorbs water or a cloth. This is adsorption. AD. It's not getting sucked up, but it's sticking to the molecule. It's like adhesion. Mm-hmm. That's where it's related to that word. Well, if you were to eat these, it would basically suck up all the moisture in your mouth and gums and tongue and throat. And
cool.
It would make the cinnamon challenge look like a piece of cake.
Damn, I'm thirsty.
Water. You'd be like SpongeBob. Water.
Yeah.
So that's why you do not eat those things. So there's your PSA. So if you see those little packets that say do not eat those. Keep them away from children.
And there's 12 people on YouTube trying to do a video of it right as we speak.
Good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
God bless them.
Do you know what I do with these packets?
Shoot them?
I don't know.
Not a trick question. Actually, what I do is I take these and throw in my camera bag and my
oh yeah, toolboxes. They're great. Mm-hmm. They don't last forever, but yeah, they're great.
Yeah, so I keep them around, you know, for stuff like that. So
next news story: Michael has taken a field trip. We should have sent him with a microphone.
You know, I took a few pictures. I was actually going to do more, but there was so much recording going on at this panel. So what happened is I actually went to Tucson with Mr. Jeff Notkin, and I got invited.
Wait! For those who don't know, and we were working on getting him on the show. Who is Jeff Notkin?
Jeff Notkin is one of the meteorite men. If you ever watched the show that was on, he does a lot of things. Jeff is
Was that Discovery
the guy.
Or Science Channel or one of those
properties?
It was
Science Channel.
Okay.
Yeah. Was it Science?
He found my glasses in your pool last June, too. Yeah. He's good at finding things.
He is really good at finding things.
Look, there's a meteor. Oh, and there's sunglasses in the pool.
But yeah, really great show. If you missed it or didn't catch it, I'm sure that's still out there. And he is actually doing a STEMS journal, which is a local thing down here that you can also find. That he just won some awards for. So
I saw that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very cool.
So but was he like the star of this expo thing? Or
No. Well, I mean, he was one of the stars. I mean, there was a lot of really great people. The panel was great. It was at the Arizona Science and Astronomy Expo, which was held down in Tucson. Like 10 million telescopes on display down in the dealer's room. It was incredible. Wow. Every telescope, and I mean, you could put your own observatory in your backyard. I mean, it's crazy.
You should line them up end to end.
I know. it would extend a long way.
But, are you compensating for something?
But we did the panel on science fiction, and it was basically a lot of what we did on Slice of Sci-Fi, which was basically science fiction to sci-fact. You know, what's the correlation between science fiction and science, and where does, you know, science end and science fiction begin, and how does it influence? Really great topics, really great panel. I was on it with Kim Stanley Robinson. He was on the panel with me. Phil Plait, he was on there, astronomer. Yeah. We also had... who was on there? Susie Corbell, Robert Reeves was on there, and Chris Kokonos was on with me as well. So, but 2-hour panel. We had a intermission break in the middle of it because it was going, it went and went and went. And when we got done, it was like we could have gone longer.
Very so, cool. Yeah, we should have said, you were on this panel.
I was on this panel.
And what was your contribution? Not to be rude or anything.
Well, primarily because I've been doing this for so many years.
Cool.
And we've been doing this segment on the show for so many years, so I had a pretty in-depth knowledge of what we were
talking
about.
Hey, Michael, can you get us another thing of water?
Yeah.
Roadie.
It's funny you should say that because there was no water on the table, and that actually was my first job, was to find somebody to get us water.
That's what they were all searching for, water elsewhere.
That's right.
Yes.
So, HTO humor there.
If you're a friend of Mr. Menengage, go over to Facebook. He's got some pictures posted on his timeline.
Good stuff. And that'll take you to some other places that will take you to even more pictures.
Let's say send friend request.
Nice, thanks.
Little late.
There was a lot of recording going on, so the entire panel was videotaped. I have no idea where that footage went or where it's available, but I will try and keep you posted.
Next time we send them to get some IDs, what do you think, Craig?
I know, for crying out loud. You missed a big opportunity there. I would have said take the H2. But,
I was
y'all
just
going
to say, I'll hand him my H2.
Well, I did start recording it a little bit, and then halfway through it was like, what am I going to do with this?
Let me think.
Yeah, well, it's, I know.
That's all right.
Some people on this panel were armed. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We had a lot of basically Jeff cleaned out his sci-fi toy box and brought every prop that he has. Well, no, I take that back. He's got a lot.
He's got
props.
A lot of props.
I've seen more props than what he had there, but he brought some of the really cool ones out. Had one of the tricorders, one of the Klingon tricorders for the movie. He had
out on there. Yeah.
Really cool stuff. Just check it out. there's some really great things happening.
Yeah, Craig, you're going to have to stop by the studio. I got toys on the desk now. This is a whole new place.
I know.
The that light up Enterprise you gave me is out here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got birthday presents and things. The neuralizer and the sonic screwdriver and a red swing line stapler.
Oh, you got one too? I didn't know you had one.
That's Julie's. Don't break it.
I'm not breaking it. I'm just trying to figure out where the sound is coming out of this thing.
Good luck. That's all.
The sonic screwdriver, you're not supposed to understand.
I found it.
We've been at this show for 25 minutes and haven't gotten to much news. Except
I know. Let's do the show.
Let's get through the birthday calendar. Hope we don't miss anybody this time. We have November 13th is Pippa from London, UK. November 13th is also Jennifer Therrien from Canada. And November 15th, Chuck Jolly, a.k.a. Nightstar from Horn Lake, Mississippi. MS is Mississippi, right?
Yeah, sure.
Or multiple sclerosis.
Or Missouri. No.
No, yeah, that's Missouri. M.O. And M.A. is Maine, and M.I. is Michigan. And
yeah, you're right.
Wow, there's a mess of them. Okay, I used to know that.
Well, what's M.I.?
M.I. is Michigan.
Michigan. Okay, well, then it's definitely M.S. Okay.
Me?
Nice. If we didn't call out your name and you are on the birthday calendar, then we thoroughly apologize ahead of time.
Here's a complaint form on the website. Go look for it.
We don't have a feedback form anymore. We just go, you got it wrong. Yeah. And we wish you a happy birthday if you're not on the birthday calendar. If you do want to get there and give you a shout out, assuming we don't miss it, then that would be over on the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. And we will be back with Monkey Butlers. Doesn't that just raise your curiosity?
There you go.
11 incredible smartwatches and the Vibro Shave. You don't want to miss those. Hang around.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think of Technorama?
Technorama? It's awesome, and it won an award.
This is the Summer Room of Eternal Peril. Answer me these questions three. The internet you see. What is your name?
I am Jim, a computer tech from Camelot Business Services.
What is your quest?
We are on a quest to download the Holy Podcast.
What is your favorite MMO?
World of Warcraft.
All right, you may pass.
Oh, that's easy.
What is your name?
I'm Lenny, a computer tech from Camelot Business Services.
What is your quest?
Download the Holy Podcast.
What is the street address of Apple Incorporated headquarters?
I don't know that.
Stop! What is your name?
I am Arthur, King of the System Admins.
What is your quest?
I seek the Holy Podcast.
What is the internet throughput of a Trojan-free email?
What do you mean? A spam email or a legitimate email?
I don't know that.
How'd you know that?
One has to know these things when one's on the quest for the Holy Podcast.
Welcome to Hoover Dam, folks. My name is Charlie, and I am the number one dam guide at Hoover Dam. It's been a pleasure taking this group around and showing them the parts of this marvelous, marvelous engineering structure here. Take it away, Chuck.
I almost forgot we made that intro. Craig, are you still there?
Did we lose Craig?
Craig?
I'm talking on mute, sorry.
Oh, just like at work.
Yeah.
Go watch Conference Room in real life or Conference Calls in real life. It's a great video.
I was just thinking earlier when y'all were talking about the initials MI or whatever, I said me. And I was thinking the nice to say me instead of me, but then you played that and it's poetic, isn't it?
I almost forgot I made that. You know how hard it is to find that background sound effect with no talking?
Oh, the dun 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 dun.
Yeah, and the
oh yeah.
It's all there. Hey, that was the first time we heard from Lenny since he's done Hacks and Strange Stories. I'm Lenny.
Go back in your closet, Lenny.
I don't think Lenny had his last name back then. We have forget about your monkey butlers.
Monkey butlers. I've always wanted a monkey butler. There you go.
Who has it?
a monkey.
A monkey with a little tux on getting you beer out of the fridge. That's awesome.
Go for it, Craig. This
the
is 12 your
monkey's butlers. This, I like that.
This story has Craig written all over it.
All right. So remember the servant robot and Rocky's gifted Polly in Rocky IV?
Yeah, it freaked me out. I did not like that as a robot. That
hey, Polly. Hey. It even knew his name, right? Every kid saw that movie and desperately wanted one of these robots for themselves. Those kids are all grown up like us, guys.
Sure. We're grown up. When did that happen?
I can finally buy that very same robot, or at least one of its direct descendants. Okay. So Millennia comes from the same company, International Robotics, Inc., that made the Cisco, S-I-C-O. Sicko robot. There you go.
The Sicko robot. That's what I'm reading.
Sicko robot that appeared in Rocky IV and countless other publicity stunts from the 80s. So, but as the robot's modern descendant, it boasts a better articulation. Okay.
It can dance.
Quieter operation. Okay. Smoother motions and a slightly less cheesy form factor. Okay. I don't see anywhere where it says it cleans my floors.
You know, robots in the house are inevitable. They really are. I mean, we're quickly getting to the point where the technology is going to.
Well, think of all the data gathering we've got right now, with like a Nest thermometer and that kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, you're just basically putting an a physical manipulation extension onto the systems that you're already putting into your house that are tied to your phone. You know, or tied to the internet, tied to Wi-Fi, tied to whatever. So, I mean, it's inevitable. It's coming. It's just we're still kind of in the infancy of the technology actually gaining a form factor that makes us really want to jump and do it.
Yeah. Hold on a second, guys. Hold on a second. Thanks, Chim Chim.
Chim-chim. The only thing standing between you and your childhood fantasy, though, is Millennia's price tag. Being a wealthy champion prize fighter would definitely help, but because this robot will set you back a hefty $345,000, for that much money, you could hire a real human butler.
Come on down, we're dealing.
It's Big Texas robot sale. You know, all these future tech gadget things, I hate it when stories go there. Oh, it's going to cost you this much. It's this expensive. Well, yeah, because it's a prototype, right? And they've made like three of them. As soon as they've put out a few thousand of them, that price is going to come down, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, early adopters are always going to get hit with the huge amount.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of made three prototypes, one of the stories I passed over was the CIA is now selling three prototypes for Osama bin Laden toys.
What?
Okay. Now that if that sounds wrong, it gets worse. Okay. These are little figurines where in certain conditions, I don't know if it's temperature or what, Osama bin Laden's face turns into this red and black pattern of demonic, like Darth Maul kind of makeup scare Chucky. Kids from not joining Al-Qaeda.
Chucky level?
ISIS, you mean.
They made three, and they're selling them.
Wow. Wow. I was always wondering why we never saw an Osama bin Laden bobblehead or anything like that.
I'm sure there are,
but I've never seen them.
Yeah, I'm sure they're around, too. Hey, by the way, getting back to our tech part of this instead of bobbleheads.
Hey, way to go, Craig, bringing it back to the core.
Yeah, let's bring it back in, guys. Reel it back in. So did you see the Echo from Amazon this week?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you see that? Did you see that their app, Primecast, so you can use your...
Wait a minute. Let me make my point before we move on to something else.
They had an app for $3 so you could use your Android device for your Chromecast. 36 hours later, it got pulled. Really? Right. They disabled the servers entirely. Back to you, Craig.
But wait a minute. What, the Primecast was to be able to cast my Amazon Prime videos to my Chromecast.
Yeah, that got shot.
Yes, they did get shot. I didn't buy it. I should have grabbed it right away.
For $3, that's a dollar every 12 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, we should explain what Echo is for people.
Yes,
out there.
Go on to Echo. Yeah.
Yes. So Echo is kind of like Siri or even Google Now, but it was a device that would sit on your desk like a Bluetooth speaker, and mm-hmm. you could just talk loudly in the room to it. Much like Motorola's, the Moto X, when it first came out, the phone was just sitting on your desk. You just talk to it without having to unlock it or anything. And that's what this thing does. And you could ask it, what's 2 times 2? Because math's hard. It would tell you the answer kind of thing.
Wasn't Echo the character on Dollhouse?
Yes, it was. Mm. I'd rather have her sitting on my desk myself. Yeah.
Well, hey, that
I'll
was
ask
a cool
her lots of questions. Yeah. I'm sure that won't get inappropriate at all.
I wasn't going to ask any questions.
Yeah, but I thought it was a pretty cool idea for a device, even though you can kind of do that with your phones nowadays, you know, but.
Yeah, because every time I say, hey, Siri, it totally borks that up bad.
I generally have pretty decent success with my.
Oh, I can. I play Android games phone. With this thing. Anyway.
Yeah, play games with it.
Another odd Remember Wednesday. We talked about the story about the ET cartridges that were buried in a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they sold so horribly, they buried them, and then they found them later. Well, now they're selling on eBay.
Of course they are.
Yes, because that's where you make your money. So I checked before the show, and one of these was up to about $850.
No.
Jeez. Yeah, so if you want a dirt-covered, dysfunctional, beat-up, non-functioning version of the worst video game ever, here's your chance. Or you can buy a working one for $7 without the cool backstory. But I'm sure if you threw a little dirt on it, you could resell it.
Put it in a plastic bag and fill it for dirt.
Bury it for 15 years, you're good.
I like just knowing the story. That's all I need to know. I don't need to own the cartridge from the... You know, imagine what that smells like?
Landfill? Yeah. I want the one buried by the diapers.
Dead seagull.
E.T. with authentic E.T. smell. Yeah. He must have been hanging around that asteroid the comet we were talking about last week.
Yeah, that Gain stunk. It still stinks.
What kind of collection do you need?
For the man who has everything,
yeah. for the ultimate collection of video games.
I was just asking myself, what does this studio need?
Hey, the guy that actually has the biggest, most ultimate collection of video games, consoles, cartridges, every disc mm-hmm. game. I mean, he's selling that for I wonder if he's got this.
Yeah. They should put one like in Lucite and send it to the Computer History Museum.
Oh,
they just give one to those people.
Yeah. You know what? And that's a good point. Cause you remember Microsoft kind of funded this to make a movie, it was for Xbox Live, I think, about the whole Atari thing. And they, I'm sure they got a few of them. They should send one over there.
E.T. never got the love he deserved except
go
Elliot.
To the Computer History Home.
Okay. The Computer History Home sounds like a place you send your old dead. Well, that is what you do.
Hey, we did an intro on that. Remember, we sent the old software home.
The retired. I'll have to look for that.
The image you have up in front of me is just.
Don't you love awesome. That? That means that it's time awesome. For Remember
That's
When.
That's garbage right there.
And you thought typing on your phone was terrible enough.
That is amazing.
All right, he's talking about an image. We have 11 incredible smartwatch apps that don't exist yet. So what are they doing in Remember When? We don't know. But maybe someday they will. Well, the picture looks very retro future.
I was going to say, the picture is definitely it. I mean, what is that?
He's got a 5.25-inch floppy, but it's about thumbnail size.
I was going to say, it's a half-inch floppy is what it is.
Sticking it into his watch.
Half-inch floppy.
With a full keyboard on the watch. Yeah. You couldn't hit that with a toothpick if you tried. Anyway, this is from Gizmodo. Over the weekend, we asked you to have a think about what kind of apps you'd want on your wrist if you were a designer. We encourage you to go big or go home. And you did. Suggesting everything from a universal translator to walkie-talkies. We received over 100 comments on the original post, but below you'll find 11 of the most intriguing ideas from the Dream Apps. For those of you who are smartwatch skeptics, tell us in the comments whether any of these would convince you to stop.
Well, you know what? I put this in the show notes because if you look at it, a lot of the stuff does exist. That's why I didn't
some
understand.
Of it is coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a real-time translator.
And they're working on that hard.
Hey, wait a minute. I can do that now on my Android phone.
How about car locking and starting? This makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense, and I think there's something in the works for that, too.
I was
OnStar.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking, one of the arcane things, you know, like business cards are still around. As electronic as we're getting, we still have business cards, and we exchange business cards. Mm-hmm. And what do? We scan them and put them in a computer. But keys. Yeah. How many keys do you have, and why do we need these darn analog tactile keys anymore?
Well, Apple's kind of doing that with the credit card things now. So, I mean, that's kind of the start with the with the ePay and
NFC.
NFC. And, so, I mean, you've got NFC if you can adapt NFC to, like, cars.
Home security or cars.
And stuff like that.
Hey, I wanted to click my key fob to open my front door so many times.
Yeah, exactly.
Dang it, it still doesn't work.
Yeah, how about a universal key fob so I don't have one for my car and one for my house and one for my wife's car?
You just reprogram it, just like the
garage door opener or a Harmony remote control.
Like a Harmony remote control. You never need another remote control again. Every time you buy a new piece, you just reprogram your remote. Same thing.
I think Logitech needs to get in on this.
I'm there.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let's get in touch with them before the show airs. Maybe we can
lock that down. We might have to edit this.
Patent.
Oh, we got a great idea. And then all of a sudden it goes into the next story we're talking about.
Look at what we didn't invent or get royalties for. What else do we have? We have Transit for Wrist. There's an app called Transit, which works on your phone so you know when the next bus comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they want this for the wrist. That makes sense.
Wait a minute. See, here's one right here. The great voice control. I mean, I can do that with my watch right now. That's what I'm I don't understand this article.
Yeah. It's kind of some of this stuff and a walkie-talkie app. Well, that's ancient history.
That's Dick Tracy.
No, don't you remember the old phones that had the walkie-talkie on them? I think
Nextel or something. They're talking about on the wrist.
Yeah, but I mean, you can do if you had a wrist that was tied to your smartphone. You have a wristwatch device, a Pebble or whatever that's tied to your phone. Or
some of these apps they're talking about leave the phone at home and they still get alerts and respond to them and whatnot. And
but that's not practical. You're always going to have your phone with you.
Yeah. Wait a minute. There was a Kickstarter, I think it was Kickstarter, just the other day. They were talking about the Star Trek communicator and how useful it was. Well, in the show, of course. But they had a device that you put it on your shirt. And it was like it was Bluetooth with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use the app and I say, okay, I'm working with Minigay, Tomasi, and lists about four or five other people. And we're trying to coordinate something. You hit the button and it would send the audio to you guys. So it is like a walkie talkie.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we would be like a party line almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without having to take my phone out of my pocket.
The last one gets into your Harmony remote thing, kind of like the DVR control again.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Now,
I've got that already on my iPad mini. I actually control my my new receiver. I control through my iPad mini.
And the question is factor.
TiVo app on my phone.
The screen and the interface on a tablet is going to be different than a phone, than different on a watch.
Mm-hmm.
How much functionality can you cram into, to do a DVR control? Granted, I will tell you that if Apple can make the Apple TV run on four buttons,
mm-hmm.
then you should be able to run it on a watch too fairly easily.
Right.
So they've taken the minimalist.
I control my music with my watch. I got, it comes up with a remote. I can just volume up, volume down, next skip.
You have such a small screen. It'd have to be an adaptive screen. So as you get to new functions, you'd actually have the screen change to the new function.
Of course, you want to hear, dear listener.
You need to get an Android because, this iPhone crap, you're just missing out.
What do you want to hear, dear listener? Tell us what you would like on a wrist app, if you will. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have a smartwatch or are not contemplating one, what would convince you to get one?
The Technorama app.
It's in the works.
Wait a minute. We want people to buy the watches.
Oh, not smash them.
Yeah, it's got an automatic complaint button on it. You can just,
what happened to your wrist? Awesome. I was smashing my watch.
We're up to 42 complaints this week. All right, what was the electric razor like in 1926? Well, everything was going electric. Because electricity was pretty cool and pretty new in the 1920s. So they came out with the VibraShave.
Mm-hmm. Well, to quote Captain America, I think this runs on some form of electricity.
And if you want to see a picture of dangerous looking electrical appliances from the 20s, this is it.
That is definitely it.
This is the precursor to the Gillette Power.
Yeah, to the one I use now, which is the vibrating razor. Which works really, really well, although I don't really want to plug it into the damn wall. I'm glad it's running on batteries.
Imagine dropping this into the sink on two prongs. Without the grounded,
exactly. Well, not to mention that it's actually cloth wrapped wires.
What
so
could
it's not
possibly
even
go wrong?
The lights downstairs going, why is the lights flickering?
The man in the picture is smiling.
That's because he's getting a tingly shave.
Massage 60 cycles. And a shave. Awesome. It's a win.
The March 1926 issue of Science and Invention magazine included the photo above and the illustration below showing off just how the new VibroShave worked. Under the headline, New Devices at the Electrical Show. Good name for an expo. The magazine touted the benefits of electric shaving. Now, this is not your typical, electric razor.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like a standard straight razor with a cord attached.
It is. It's just a... it's sad. It's really sad.
Hey, dangerous. I use a double-edged safety razor. There's no way I want it to vibrate.
Plug it in, my friend. Plug it in.
VibroShave.
Now, you added something here right before we started, or did I add? I think you added this. The driverless cars and eating dogs. Predictions?
Nope.
Oh, I added?
No. Nope. You must have added it because I'm like, what does that mean?
I like predictions. I like predictions. Yes. What do you imagine will be the biggest challenges that the world will face in 20 years? Energy or food scarcity? Overpopulation? What about the biggest triumphs? Cures for cancer? And extended lifespans? Smarter humans? Well,
nothing.
These all sound similar to people of 1980 when they looked 20 years into the future at the year 2000.
There's nothing on that list we hit.
Yeah.
No.
Smarter humans? Nope.
It's up to the millennials now.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Take it away.
We're screwed.
From the June 29, 1980 article, we're going to have a hell of a lot of good old people by the year 2000. Well, yeah, that went without saying because you had the baby boomers getting older. Said Barry Robinson, communications counsel for the American Association of Retired Persons, or AARP. Wow, twice in one show we mentioned AARP.
It's a theme.
It's a rule of thumb that if you make 65 are in reasonably good health, you will be around in Phoenix for an average of another 15 years. Boy, they underestimated that one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I just talked to a dude in church who's 91 and looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my dad's 68 and he runs with me every weekend.
By the year 2000, we will have a tight dependency ratio, a point where two people are working for one person collecting pension Social Security.
Sure.
Hi, what is this Social Security myth of which you speak?
Yeah.
We'll see at the
riddles,
end.
Wizard.
Our wizard was absent last night. That was a jab at Craig for those of you who might not know.
Thank you.
We'll see the end of retirement as we know it today. Yeah, because no one can afford to stop working.
I was going to say that almost came true.
We might work only half a year, say, then they come to Phoenix, the snowbirds. There would be a longer working life, but shorter periods of work, so that instead of taking all of our leisure at the end of life, we would spread it out.
There's the corporate wet dream, isn't it? We can keep them working until they die.
Yeah, but they only have to come in 3 days a week. Yeah, that never happened. I want to go to Europe where they take 3 or 4 months off. Oh, man. Remember talk of domed cities? The dream of the future? Architects now say it would be impractical.
It did come true. Pauly Shore proved it.
The biodome. Well, we're probably going to, that might come back if we actually get to Mars, because they'll be needing to probably be rethinking that over there. So
yeah, that whole atmosphere thing.
They have a whole bunch of topics in here about transportation, cures for cancer, smarter kids, eating dogs.
What?
In 1978,
that's the part that got me. I was like, "What? I'm hooked."
Let's read on, shall we? In 1978, yeah. Barbara Ford wrote a book titled "Future Food," which advocated for consumption of alternative proteins like insects and algae.
Insects, I never understood, because we're the only culture that doesn't actually eat insects.
I know, isn't that crazy?
It is, because only, it is only it's by huge accident. Protein.
And they're so populous.
and it's easy. They're so renewable. That's the big thing.
Yeah. I mean, the only people who eat
butt.
No. I almost gave it away. The only people who eat insects are the bikers.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I said. Accidentally.
Right.
The 1980 article even mentioned rodents and dogs as possible sources of food for the future. We quote, "We will mine and harvest the sea increasingly, and what today is considered food for livestock will feed humans." Soylent Green.
Cut out the middleman.
Barbara Ford, examining future food, alternative protein for the year 2000, William Morrow and Company, predicted the world will dine on high-protein grains, non-dairy cheese, and milk. Unusual forms of marine life, leafy plants such as alfalfa, one-celled plants such as algae, and an assortment of, quote, weird proteins that include insects, reptiles, rodents, small game, even dogs.
Roadkill and... No.
Well, as the population increases and the demand gets stronger and stronger, there's some real conversation to have.
We're going to have to cross some lines that would traditionally not have been crossed.
Well, the projection is 40 years that we may fish out all the fishable species of fish in the ocean. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I have trouble believing that. That's a lot of fish.
It's not as
Craig only buys sustainable tilapia.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there. Whether whether you believe it or not, we'll see.
Craig's going to start a fish farm. Fish farm.
Would y'all eat bugs?
I eat bugs. I've ate bugs. It's just like any protein. If it's prepared right, it's fine. Right.
Roasted garlic butter.
We're close to Mexico. They eat crickets and grasshoppers and everything else down there all the time.
The crickets are running all over the patio. Yeah, we ought to just grab some for dinner.
The spicy
Jose Cuervo.
The spicy fried the deep fried crickets are actually
stick
really
them in some
chorizo.
So we're good.
Yeah.
What's the tequila with the worm?
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's not quite the same.
No. Wow. Yes.
Everybody's eating the worm once.
Who wants the protein? Drink up.
Yeah, because a pickled mealy worm is really, really a lot.
That'll
of
get you by sustenance.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
Good news, everyone.
I don't like the sound of that.
We have more good news. We had to put that in twice just because it was such good news. Mystery Science Theater is coming back with their Turkey Day marathon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sweet. And it's going to include some new content from Joel.
Oh, good.
Yeah, man. So we're celebrating Turkey Day. This is Thanksgiving Day weekend for us Americans. And in third Thursday of November, fourth Thursday, whatever it is, you look it up, you know the day because you probably have the time off from work. Unless you're working some doorbuster sale. Okay, Mystery Science Theater, for those of you who don't know, was that wonderful show with the theater and the robots and lots of snarky comments.
Awesomeness.
Yes. I have signed T-shirt from Frank Conniff and I'm hoping to get more. Anyway, every Thanksgiving Day, they would do a 30-hour marathon of some of their cheesiest movies and experiments and whatnot. This year, they're coming back with it.
Fantastic.
Wait a minute. They did it last year also.
Oh,
the
they
way.
Did?
Oh. Yeah, so I watched some of it last
year. How did
we
miss that?
Well, I was trying to, I didn't know ahead of time, but I found out during Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So I watched some of it on YouTube Live. But this year, I've got a Chromecast, and it will let me play YouTube Live on the TV. So
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so Harrison's kind of excited about it, too. Because he's seen some. I showed him some, and he's intrigued. So.
Have you guys gone to the Riff Track Live?
No.
You haven't?
No.
We should. They do it at DragonCon.
Well, you're out here in Phoenix now. They have it here all the time. So next time it comes up, I'll keep an eye out, and we'll go.
So keep your eyes on YouTube. We have a link in the show notes if you want to find out more. We're running a little long, so we're going to end there. Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you go to the link in the show notes, you have to scroll down a little bit. There's a big ad for the series with, you know,
yeah.
Wow, I mean, go buy it. But down below, it talks about the Turkey Day Marathon.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. You want to come over? I know what we're doing Thanksgiving Day.
Sure.
So, Mike, what are you and Lori doing for Thanksgiving?
We're coming over here. I'm sure he'll have more for me to do.
He's going to make you a
turducken. I can drywall the bathroom while I'm over here. It'll be great.
Hey, Chuck, he's got to make you a turducken.
Ooh, turducken.
That takes us to the end. We appreciate you giving us your ears for an hour or so.
I want a squid ducken this year.
If you've spotted any errors or misjudgments in this episode, call the listener line at 206-222-2428. This is 206-222-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you, or send an email or your chat transcript or whatever you want to technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to be part of your conversation. We will get that chat room running sooner or later. We also want to invite you to track us, follow us, friend us, whatever you do. Happening. Go over to chuckchat.com. Thanks to Mad Marv for the great blog content and all you people who sent us your feedback and voicemails and everything else. You, downloader, thanks. Craig, friend, tell Technorama 101.
What? That was my line. 101.